بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الحمد لله. Last week we covered in the seerah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم the events that led to Badr and then what happened during Badr. As we've explained that Badr was one of the most important incidents that has happened in the Islamic history because it basically brought the Muslims to be on the map. And it brought the Muslims a political identity. People were now thinking that, okay, it's not just this random group that we think that they're here. Maybe they'll be existing, maybe they won't be existing, but actually it's in actual power right now. And as we said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't just jump into this thing. It took them almost 15 years, right, for this event to happen. A lot of times we Muslims, whenever we advocate for something or we start something, we like for it to show immediate results. And one of the things that we see in the Sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you're not going to see immediate results. You have to wait, you have to be patient, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see if you're really true in your desire, in your seeking of what is the truth. And so we see over here that the Muslims are, for 15 years, they could easily have been by now give up that really, how are we gonna, get any victory at this point? But because they were patient and because of all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them the victory. And one thing to realize is that the people who participated in the battle of Badr are such people that when Jibreel alayhi salam came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that, how are the people who participated in Badr? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that those are the best people amongst us. Those are the best people amongst us. Then Jibreel alayhi salam said that actually the angels who participated in Badr, those are the best angels amongst us. And so we see that the people of Badr had such a tremendous virtue that so many times they would, if there was any type of mistake done from them or anything like that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would forgive them because of them participating in Badr. And one of the famous incidents is that of Hatib ibn Balta'. This was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who actually in the later years wrote a letter to the Quraysh informing them of the plan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found out about this, this is a major act, right? A major act against the Muslims. But even then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave him because he said that these are people of Badr, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already forgiven them. And one thing for us to focus on over here is why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them such a high stance? And that is because their tawakkul, their reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was such that even though they were, technically not ready, they were not prepared. But when the call came out, they were ready, they did not back out, and they showed their reliance on Allah, their tawakkul on Allah, and their yaqeen and their faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see that the Quraysh, they're coming with so many numbers. But the Muslims have small numbers, but even then they're winning. Now, from the Quraysh, how many people came to fight? About 1,000 or so people came to fight. Of them, how many people passed away? How many people died? About 70 people passed away. The Muslims were about 300 in number. And how many passed away from them? About 15 of them passed away. 70 of the kuffar, of the Quraysh, they passed away. Another 70 were taken as prisoners of war. And the concept of prisoners of war was something very common then. The way it would work in the Arabian culture, if you would have a fight, whichever side would win, they would capture whoever's from the other side and they would take them and they would turn into slaves and all that. Or they would be killed. So there was a whole bunch of people, including the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is Abbas radiallahu anhu, including the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? They're all taken as prisoners of war. Now, this is the first time all of this is happening where first you're seeing people are dying in the path of Allah. So the whole concept of what to do with the shaheed, do we wash their body?
Do we bury them? What do we do with them? So the concept of shuhada, the concept of shaheed, this is something new. The concept of spoils of war, we just won this battle. We have all this wealth that just came to us. What do we do with that? We just got all these prisoners of war. What do we do with that? So even though the battle ended, it had a lot of different lessons for the Muslims. And one of the major things was that when it came to it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not just say that, okay, we won, but now it's time to just go. No, he waited right there and then, and he said, let's stay here in the place of Badr, so that this way we can have confidence that we won the battle. The other side is the one that retreated. They're the ones that left. That's the one thing that will be established. The next thing is that when it comes to the martyrs, the shuhada of the Muslims, they, as a shaheed, the body is not washed and the clothes are not changed. Why? Because in Qiyamah, in the Day of Judgment, the martyrs will come and their blood is going to be smelling like musk. And so therefore, they are not washed. And they're buried exactly where they have passed away. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching them all of this. So this is what's going on with the Muslims. Now, this is probably one of the happiest days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. Why? Because finally Islam got victory. And not just victory, but the biggest enemies of Islam, the people who have tortured the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for over a decade, they're all dead. And they were all thrown, 70 people, they were all thrown into one well. And now this is the time for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He started to call them by name. Oh Abu Jahl, oh Utbah, oh Shayba, what is your place right now? He even tells, he's talking to the well, and he's saying that, you know, what has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala done to you? Did you find the promise of Allah to be true? Because for indeed we found the promise of Allah to be true. What was the promise of Allah for those people who are patient? That they will get victory or no? They will get victory. Did the Muslims get victory today or no? The promise of Allah is fulfilled. What did Allah promise the mushrikeen? The people who die without the kalima, the enemies of Islam, that they're going to be burning in the fire. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking them. He said, did you find the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today to be true? Umar radiallahu anhu comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, O Prophet of Allah, you're speaking to the dead, do they hear us? And so at this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like, oh Umar, just the way you guys can hear, they cannot respond to us, but they can hear. Right? Now there's a whole big debate on this, theological debate on whether the dead can hear or the dead cannot hear. But we have this hadith that says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did speak. There are other narrations that say that you cannot speak to the dead and all of that as well. The point is not that, the point is the seerah of it, that all of those people that were the enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they took on every single propaganda, every single chance to harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today they are meeting, they met their end. And they're over there. Now there are two different camps, the Muslim camp and the Mushrik camp. The Mushrikeen, they run back to Mecca. And they are in the stage of like awe. They don't know what just happened. All their leaders passed away. Everybody passed away. They are defeated in a way that they have never imagined that this would be done. The Muslims are going back. They're rejoicing. They're happy. Zayd ibn Haritha, he goes to Medina and he starts to say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And the Muslims are hearing that, wow, the Muslims are victorious. And subhanAllah, you look at this, that even though this is probably the most proud day for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As he's entering into Medina, he finds out that his daughter Ruqayya passed away. Even at this time, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he's burying her in the Baqi' and he's dusting off his hands, and this is the time for them to rejoice and to be happy. But even then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making him an example for us. That it doesn't matter how much we ever go through, he's gone through more than us. So his daughter has passed away. Now he's left with this situation of what should he do with the prisoners of war. And some people like Umar radiallahu anhu, he's like, kill them all. Right? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is like, oh Prophet of Allah, this is your family. These are your people. Don't kill them. Let's have a thing with them. Put ransom on them. And those people who cannot pay, let them teach the people in Medina who do not know how to read and learn. And this is the encouragement of education in our deen. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even in situation like this, what is he doing? He's looking for opportunity of education for the people of Medina. And he's saying that for every person, every prisoner of war, he is to teach 10 people. He is to teach 10 people. And other people are bringing their wealth and everything. And as the wealth come in, one of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going through some things. And one of the things that he sees is he sees the necklace of Khadija radiallahu anha. And he's shocked to see this. Then he finds out that this is the necklace that was given to his daughter Zainab radiallahu anha. And his daughter Zainab radiallahu anha, her son As, he is taken as a prisoner of war. So she sent the necklace, right? She sent the necklace to free him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to have tears in his eyes. He said, you can have this, but when you go back, please send my daughter back to me. And so as Zainab radiallahu anha comes back, and it's a long story, but when she's coming back, one of the Meccans go, and he's trying to stop the camel. As he's stopping the camel picks up his legs, and Zainab radiallahu anha, she falls 15 feet from, she falls from the thing, from the camel, and she was pregnant at that time, and she had miscarriage. And after a little bit, she passes away as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 4 children, 4 daughters, and of them, 3 of them passed away in his lifetime. So any type of pain that you could imagine, he's gone through it. He's gone through it. And so this is the situation in over there. The Muslims are happy. The Muslims are rejoicing that finally our situation is, alhamdulillah, getting better. Now there's 3 camps. The Quraysh, they're in absolutely shock. They don't know what just happened. They're like, we used to have these gatherings where our elders used to gather and talk and discuss things, and that's not happening. Up till now, there's the two groups in three groups in Medina. The Muslims, they're rejoicing. The Munafiqun, the head of the Munafiqun, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, he till now was hopeful that the Muslims will just be wiped out soon, they're going to be ended, and as soon as they're ended, I'm going to become the king over here. So he's still hopeful for that. But now, this is the first time that this happens against them, and he loses all his hopes. So the Munafiqun are kind of calming down, and they're like, actually, I don't think we could be so hopeful anymore, because this is now a legitimate power. The Jews, they become very agitated. And they start to say, oh, you guys are thinking that you guys are winners in war? You guys are fighting Quraysh. The Quraysh don't know anything about war. If you guys were to fight us, we will show you this. We will show you what a war is. And they start to show that true hatred that they kept in their hearts. Now it's starting to show. Because they're seeing that the Muslims are becoming victorious. And they cannot handle that anymore. So now we're going to start to see in the next series that we go through very clear enmity of the Quraysh coming, and they're going to start to propagate against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, start to plan assassinations and everything. Over there in Mecca, the situation is so bad that they're thinking what to do. And one time, Safwan ibn Umayyah, right? First of all, how did it happen? When one of the first soldiers go back from the battle of Badr, and he tells the people of Mecca what happened. He started to name names. Abu Jahl, Umayyah, Shayba, Umayyah, all of them are killed. People are like, I think this guy became crazy. I think he's crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. How is this possible that all the leaders just passed away? It's not possible. And so one of them tells them, he's like, you know what? I think he's crazy. Just ask him about Safwan. Where's Safwan? Because Safwan didn't go for a fight. But he says, ask him about Safwan to see if Safwan is killed or not. If he says Safwan is killed, then this guy's crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He tells him, he's like, where's Safwan? He's like, oh, Safwan, he's okay. He's sitting somewhere over there. But his father and his brother, they're both killed. So the people realize, they're like, oh my God, this is done. Actually, he's saying the truth. Abu Sufyan, he goes, he sees Abu Lahab. Remember, Abu Lahab didn't go. Abu Lahab sent Al-As ibn Wail on his behalf. So Abu Lahab asks, he's like, what happened? And when Abu Sufyan starts to mention the story of what happened, he says, Wallahi, you can't blame our people. Because they had some power from the sky that we could not overcome. This was like something we've never seen in our life. And one of the slaves of Abbas radiallahu anhu, he gets so happy. He's like, these are the angels that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about. And so he says this. And Abu Lahab gets so upset that he starts beating him up and beating him up so much that he was about to kill him. And then his Abbas radiallahu anhu's wife comes and says that, oh, this is what you do? That Abbas is gone. You're going to do this to his household? So he calms down. And after a little bit, Abu Lahab is afflicted with some type of sickness. A sickness was there's worm coming out of his body. And Abu Lahab passes away as well. Now really all the leaders, the first generation of leaders, they're all gone. Now it's the next one left. The next one is left, for example, the son of Umayyah is left. The son of Umayyah is Safwan. Safwan one day is sitting down, very depressed, looking down. And another person by the name of Umayr ibn Wahab, he goes by. And like, what happened? He's like, you know, it's just there's no more life left in Makkah. All the elders passed away. There's nobody gathering. There's no talk, nothing. How did this happen to us? And Umayr ibn Wahab is like, yeah, this Muhammad, what he's done to us is just too much. You know, he's like, is there nothing we can do? And Umayr is like, wallahi, if I didn't have my debt, I would have gone and I would have taken care of Muhammad today. And Safwan is like, really? Now remember, Safwan's father was Umayyah, who was the master of Bilal. This was the family who used to torture Bilal, right? And so his father is dead. He's like, really? You think you could, if I was to take care of your debt, will you go and kill him? He's like, yeah. He's like, okay, you know what? I'll take care of your family. Everything I get for my family, I'll get for your family. I will take care of them just like mine. And whatever debt you have, I'll take care of them completely. So he's like, really, you'll do that? He's like, yeah. He's like, with the condition that you go and kill the Prophet. So the Umayr ibn Wahab, he goes, and he takes a sword, and he poisons the sword. When you poison the sword, you don't need to kill a person. You don't need to chop off his head. You just need one incision. Because then the blood will go into, the poison will go into the blood supply, and the person will be killed automatically. And so he goes and he poisons the sword and he gets ready and he goes to Medina. Now this is the gloomy, depressive state in Mecca. And you go to Medina and everybody's happy, sitting down about how everything happened in Mecca, how everything happened in Badr. And one day there's a group sitting down with Umar radiallahu and they're talking. And he comes, Umayr ibn Wahab. As soon as Umar saying, he says, هَذَا عَدُوُ اللَّهِ This enemy of Allah. مَا جَاءَ إِلَّا لِشَرٍ He didn't come except for something bad, except for something evil. Umar radiallahu had firasa. So he's very thing, he's like, you guys watch out, make sure that he doesn't go anywhere. He goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, O Prophet of Allah, Umayr ibn Wahab has come and he has come for no good. And so he goes and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like, tell him to bring him. He goes and holds him by the collar and he brings him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, here, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like, leave him. Why are you holding him from the collar? And he leaves him, but he's still standing next to him. He's like, Umar, you could back off. You could, you know, go back now. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts to tell Umayr. He's like, what did you come for? He's like, I came because my son is a prisoner, so I came to give the ransom and to take my son. This was the excuse that he came with. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like, really? Is that what you came for? Like, yeah, wallahi, that's the only thing that I came for. I just came to just take my son. The Prophet ﷺ is like, so why do you have the sword on? He's like, oh, this sword, you know, has this sword ever done any good to us? It's only done bad to us. It's just here just for the sake of it. He's like, really? He's like, came close. And he tells them, he's like, what was your conversation with Safwan like? And now Umayr ibn Wahab is so shocked. Because there was nobody except them two who heard of this conversation. Nobody. And they made a deal that they will not let anybody know. And he left so nobody could have come before him. He's like, what was your conversation with Safwan? And as soon as he heard that, he's like, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Immediately he accepted Islam. And Umar radiallahu anhu was like, Wallahi ma kana ala wajhi al-ardi abghada ilayya minhu. He says, Wallahi, there wasn't anyone who was more hated by me than him on this earth. وَقَدْ صَارَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَحَدِ الْأَبْنَاءِ. And today he became more beloved to me than one of my kids. So this was what you call love for the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah. So long as he was not a Muslim, so long as he was an enemy of Islam, he was the enemy of Umar radiallahu anhu. As soon as he left that and became the friend of Islam and accepted Islam, that's it. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Umar radiallahu anhu was like, that's it. He's now my friend. He's now mine. Right? So this was the dilemma. This was the situation that was going on. Now, as I said, the situation is going to unfold because Badr happened in second year and Uhud happened in third year. It's 1 year left. And now you can tell there's going to be a lot of things going on. This rage, this revenge, right? All of this is going on in the minds of the Quraysh of what to do. And inshallah, we will continue with that next week. But the minimum we learn from this lesson is to love for the sake of Allah, is to hate for the sake of Allah, is to have faith, is to have patience, knowing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it took him 15 years to see the first major victory, but he never lost hope. And even in that, he was afflicted with such pain that his daughter passed away. So it does not matter what we go through, know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has gone through more, and also know that going through some type of pain does not mean Allah does not like you, does not mean that Allah hates you. It just means that Allah is testing you, and the more you test, the higher your grade goes. The more you test, the higher your grade goes. So it just means more opportunities for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand.